So we're studying Titus, and we're looking at, you know, how do you establish a healthy church? Because Paul and Titus and their team went through Crete, they started all these churches, and now Paul tells Titus, go back and establish elders in all these churches and help these churches grow to maturity. And a lot of that is through the life transformation that Jesus brings in people. So one of the key terms here is healthy churches. So we're really hoping that the churches that we help start are healthy churches, and a lot of it comes from healthy leadership. I know some of y'all have heard some of my story. When I came out of seminary, I thought, oh man, God's gonna put me in this like really healthy church. It's gonna be awesome. It's a great experience. And I come to find out that that wouldn't be my case. And so I was on staff at this church, and I began to pick up on some unhealthy tendencies with the lead pastor there. And little by little, as I just, you know, continued in my employment there, I began to experience just a lot of different things that people might qualify as like spiritual abuse. And I remember one point, this was like months in, people were telling me, hey, Jared, like, you should probably leave this church. Like, you probably should leave your position. I remember one of the church leaders coming up to me and saying, hey, Jared, I know that this has been going on for a long time. And I said, like, what are you talking about? And he said, I know how you've been being treated. And I said to the leader, I said, well, why haven't you done anything? And the leader looked at me and like literally walked away. And I just remember being like coming home one day, and I told Meredith, like, hey, like, I'm cracking. Like, I can't be in this environment anymore. And so I ended up leaving that church role. And it took me about a year and a half to like actually heal up in my heart from just all the just different challenges that I experienced with this person. And I found out later, as I, you know, was there longer, when I left, I was the sixth person to leave in 6 years, and a person left the month after me. And so I learned, oh man, this was just like, there's just so many unhealthy dynamics. And after that person retired, what the church did, and it's great that they did it afterwards. If they'd done it during, it would have been even better. But they sent a delegate, well, they created this delegation for reconciliation committee, and they made a list of over 70 names of people that they needed to go to ask forgiveness for how they were treated during that process. And so three of them flew down here, met at our house, and got to have that conversation, which was like really restorative. It was really cool. So going from like unhealthy church context and learning from that, we're seeing here in Titus, like, how do you establish a healthy church? So let's work through these scriptures together. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says, "For there are many rebellious people who engage in useless talk and deceive others. This is especially true of those who insist on circumcision for salvation. They must be silenced, because they are turning whole families away from the truth by their false teaching, and they do it only for money." And so what we got here is, if you look at the list last week of the different elders and leaders, God had a list of qualifications that they want to be formed in them for to be healthy leaders for their church and the churches in the region. And then you get this contrasting list of what it is, a profile of an unhealthy person. So who are these people that are unhealthy that Jesus wants to transform? Or if they're not willing to be changed by his grace, love, and power, how do you actually confront these people? So if you look at this list, it says that they were rebellious. So they had actions that were rebellious against God's way of doing life. They had useless talk, so their speech was just full of stuff that didn't lead people to Jesus and got them tangled up in all types of other things. So they were deceptive, so their motivation was actually to deceive people for their own purposes. And they had an alternate way of salvation. They were insisting that salvation was through circumcision, but when Jesus came, that was no longer needed, because salvation came through his death and through his resurrection and receiving what he did on the cross for us. And so in essence, they were anti-Christ. They were against Jesus and what he was doing. And so their goal was all about money and all about control. So when they siphoned down, they wanted the money of people and they wanted to control people. And the outcome of this is that actually whole families were turning away from Jesus, away from God, and being taken away from the church that Titus had established. So whole families were being taken away. And so what this points to, what Paul is getting at with Titus and for us, is the importance of knowing your Bible. So if you are reading your Bible consistently, you'll know what God's word actually says, versus people who will come up and tell you things that sound good. We're talking like this snake oil seller in our group over here, right? Who will sell all these things to you and it sounds good, but in the end, it's actually useless and it puts you in a bind yourself. And the idea is having like correct teaching and belief. So if you read the scriptures and you know what God's word says, it forms the teaching that you receive and it also forms the belief that you have. And I heard over in this DBS group, the importance of like bringing these things in the relationship with other people, because other people have different angles on what you're hearing from others. So importance of your discipleship. And even in our like DBS studies, like one of the questions we want to ask when we study the scriptures is, where do you see that in scripture? Because if people are coming up with interpretations or kind of things that are just out there, a good question is just simply say, hey, where do you see that in scripture? And it always brings it back to God's word. So I remember, this is when I was in college, I remember hearing a knock on the door of my house, and I was like, oh, I'll go get the door. And I opened the door, and guess what? Two people were standing there. Any guesses? Yes, Jehovah, here it is. Jehovah's Witnesses were at my door. And, you know, back then I was like a fiery like person, like wanting to argue. I don't argue anymore, but do all that types of stuff. So I invited them into my house and sat down, and we were reading our Bibles, and I quickly learned their Bible was different from my Bible in a lot of different ways. And so we had this conversation, and they're like, can we come back next week? I said, yeah, come back. So I was like, okay, now I can learn. Like, I learned a lot about their perspective and their Bible and certain things that were translated. And at the core of it, they don't believe Jesus is God, is what the core of the big part of it is. So I found a verse in their Bible where Thomas, after the resurrection, when Jesus comes to him, he says, my Lord and my God to Jesus. And I was like, oh, this is a good verse. So when they came back and they had their Bibles, hey, can you open to this verse in your Bibles? Like, can you guys read this verse? So they read the verse out loud. And I says, hey, your Bible right here says Jesus is God. What do you guys think? And they literally had like nothing else to say. And they, you know, there's always like the advanced person and the person they're training. And that's a biblical model for us too. And so I looked at the younger guy and I said, hey, what do you think? Like, your religion in this Bible says Jesus is God. Are you willing to leave your religion of Jehovah's Witness and believe in Jesus? And he just looked at me and didn't answer. And so the importance for us is, as we know our scriptures, when other people come into our lives that teach us other things or share other things that are contrary to what God's word says, we'll be able to know, okay, this is what God's word says in contrast to what you're saying. And we're able to then stand in our faith and remain in Jesus. So that we, in essence, what we need is this. We need spiritual guardians. So we need spiritual guardians in our families that will know what God's word says. And we need spiritual guardians in our churches who will be able to guard our churches from false things that would come in and try and deceive people and pull them away from Jesus and community. So let's look at verses 12 through 14. It says, even one of their own men, a prophet from Crete, has said about them, the people of Crete are all liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons. This is true, so reprimand them sternly to make them strong in the faith. They must stop listening to Jewish myths and the commands of people who have turned away from the truth. All right, so if you think about like a prophet of our culture, I don't know, like some of them along the way have maybe been Snoop Dogg, Britney Spears, like just different people like that. Who would be a person of a prophet of our culture today? Would you think of someone? What was that?
Billie Eilish.
Okay, who is it?
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, okay, yeah. Any others? Beyonce. Any other prophets of our culture you think, can think of? So what those people are saying is like basically they're exegeting, they're basically pulling out what our culture is and putting names on it. And this prophet in their culture, kind of like the hip-hop singers of the day, they said, hey, all our people in our culture, they all lie, they're cruel animals, and they're super lazy and they eat a lot of food. So if you think about our culture, I think a way to figure out what our culture looks like in terms of like that prophetic perspective are billboards. So if you drive down the 210, the 605, the 57, just kind of in this region, what are the types of billboards you see everywhere? There's like a theme of them.
Lawyers,
that's one of the ones I had written down. Lawyers is huge, right? Lawyers. Food, yeah, that's literally what I had here. Any others? I had two more.
Movies.
Yeah, movies. I had entertainment. And then the other one I had was sexuality. So you got sexuality, you got legal, you got food, and then you got entertainment. And I think those are kind of the big four in our culture, I would say, what their Crete prophet would say, like, these are the things in our American culture overall, according to billboards, is what shapes our culture and shapes people's perspectives and how they live their lives and who they are and what they do. Because if you just look even at your personal life, like, we look at our relationship with food. Like, what's our relationship with food? What's our relationship, not in terms of ministry, like, I don't think a lot of us are in, like, lawsuits suing people, but how are we forgiving people and not holding things against them? Because that's the essence of what legality is. Our sexuality, like, how do we treat our sexuality and that of others in relationships with people? And then entertainment, like, how do we, I think in our culture, the entertainment's really based on screens. Like, how do we, what's our relationship with screens? What does that look like? And so, basically, God is wanting us to transition from the culture that we're in to God's culture that He has designed. So Titus is trying to pull people out of the Crete culture into God's culture. And so when we come out of our own culture, our own lifestyle before we knew Jesus, He takes us through this process of transformation. And the way we know God's culture is by reading the scriptures. And as we read the scriptures, we begin to have a renewing of our mind, understanding, oh, this is God's culture, how He wants us to live. Did you see what Paul told Titus to do with these people that were living contrary to this way? He used some strong words. He said, reprimand sternly. I mean, could you imagine someone coming up to you and reprimanding you sternly, like being out of line with God's word? Honestly, that'd be like kind of hard to like, could be hard to receive. But this is what he's saying to do, is like confront them in a really strong way so that they actually turn to Jesus and have a strong faith. So his goal, his motivation is to see them transformed. And so we got to ask ourselves this question. How would you respond if someone confronted your life? How would you respond if someone confronted your life and if an area that God wanted to address? And a way I've learned, like, I think it's God uses people to confront us because He wants us to change and grow. And I was thinking about this last night as I was reflecting. I think sometimes God will use people to confront us when we're not listening to Him. Because I think the Holy Spirit's speaking first. And if our hearts are hard because of sin or we don't want to listen, whatever it is, I think He has enough mercy to send somebody in our path that will want to speak truth into our lives. And are we willing to receive that person as if we're receiving God speaking to us? And I remember when I was in grad school at APU, I was in grad class, and some of you have heard this, but it would like radically transform my life. Is I was sitting in grad class and God spoke to me and said, fast for 7 days. And I thought, like, I've not even like fasted beyond like 3 days. Like, I don't even know if I'd done a 3-day fast by then. But I actually, like, I just chose to do it. So that week I ate a ton of food, and I was still doing Gatorades. Then I don't do Gatorades anymore, but I drank Gatorade for 7 days. And on like the third or fourth day of the fast, I was meeting with a friend, and she confronted me in my sin. She was like, you're prideful. And I was like, oh. And she just began to share like about pride in my life. And then she challenged me. Then she said, God's going to test you. She said, you need to make a list and go to everybody you've sinned against in your pride, ask them to forgive you and ask them to pray for you. And I was like, dang, like, I think I got to take this seriously. I made my list and I went to with all these people. It was really hard. It was super like humiliating. That's what humility is. Humiliation, humble. And so I did that whole thing. And then like 2 days after my fast, the young adults pastor of the church we were at, he's like, hey, can you share this with the young adults group? So I shared what had happened, how I fasted and got confronted in my sin. I confessed to all these people, asked them to forgive me. And I went and sat down and I had this encounter with God that changed my life. I don't know how to describe it to you, except like I saw and felt and experienced the depth of my sin before a holy God. And it was one of the most bizarre experiences where I realized, man, how sinful I am before this holy God. And then also after that, like, I had like the joy of the Lord, like, fill me. I don't know how to describe it, but I had this overwhelming joy just like fill my life. And I felt like what God said is like, you passed your test. And so God used a person to confront me, and I humbled myself, and then he radically changed me with his spirit. And one of the things I think he wants us in all this, as I share that story and looking at this scripture, is if we're sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father through Jesus, because of his love for us and his power of his spirit at work within us. He wants us as sons and daughters to become like the Heavenly Father. And so as we grow to be more like God the Father, it's because we're his children. And so the children of God are like the Heavenly Father. And so as God pulls out these areas in your life, if he, the Spirit of God, you know, confronts you or convicts you, or if he uses a person, if we have the posture of humility, we'll transition to become more like who Jesus wants us to be in the culture of the kingdom of God. So let's look at these final verses. And he says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and consciences are corrupted. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable, disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. So what Paul is saying is, like, the condition of your heart, it really matters. Because we can either have a pure heart before God and others, or we can have a corrupt and unbelieving heart. And if we're all real, like, man, we're in a fallen world, we got sin in our lives, like, we're all going to have a corrupt heart to some extent. And that's where Jesus wants to transform our hearts by the power of his Spirit working within us. And if you notice, there's actually a link between corruption and unbelief. And so if our heart is filled with corruption, like impurities, it'll actually cause unbelief to grow within our heart. And if you think about your mind, so it's the way you think is actually corrupted. So if you think like, I'm thinking like the billboards versus I'm thinking about like in line with God's word. And the corruption of your conscience, what Paul is getting at, is our ability to discern right and wrong. And so if we have such a warped way of thinking, our understanding of right and wrong will be actually misaligned with what God says. So these people are claiming to know God, but their behavior and their actions are contrary. So as we establish new churches and we see people come to believe in Jesus the first time who don't know him, it's totally normal for them to not speak the truth. Because when people are coming to know Jesus for the first time and they're beginning to read God's word, it'll take time for them, for the word to transform them from the inside out. So if you think about like our own stories, like, because I wasn't a believer when I grew up when I was younger, and so I thought like the billboards and talked like the billboards and all that stuff. But the more I read God's word over and over, it began to change me. And so the more you get God's word in your heart, the more it'll change you from the inside out. So Paul's guidance in this, with these types of people, is ultimately like stay away from them. So if you reprimand them and you confront them and they don't change, it says put your distance between yourself and them, because then they have the ability to affect the community. So Paul's ultimate goal in establishing healthy churches is like what's the best for the community, and how do we create a healthy community and maintain the unity as a church or a church of churches. So we have to recognize that people will come into our lives and they'll pretend to be Christians, or maybe they are Christians, but they still have Crete in their heart in that way. And they'll say things that aren't from God that sound good, but they're actually trying to pull us away from God and pull us away from our Christian community. So Paul says, put distance between them and yourself. And this is where we have to be discerning and bring this stuff into our relationships with other people and bounce it off them with what you're hearing from other people. So what you put into your heart determines the condition of your heart. So what you put in your heart determines the condition of your heart. So if you're placing the billboards in your heart, you're going to have like the billboard heart. But if you put God's word in your heart, you'll become more like God. So we have to take ownership for ourselves and our spiritual condition and our holistic condition, taking ownership for ourselves and then being interdependent with the body of Christ. Because I don't think anybody here, like, and knowing people's stories, like, we can't do this life of following Jesus on our own. That's why he made the church, so we do it in community. Because it's so cool, like, before we started up, like, people were in conversations and they were praying for each other and they were helping people hear from God about what they should do about their situation. And that's what the body of Jesus is. Because what I've noticed is if people try and, like, quote unquote, like, follow Jesus on their own and they're, quote unquote, hearing his voice, but they're not doing it in community rooted in God's word, they're hearing some wacky stuff. And it's just not, it's not really from God. It's maybe from themselves or another spirit that's not from God that's speaking to them. But that's why it's so important for us to be in community and to be rooted in God's word. And so as you think about yourself, like what is God speaking to you today? Like, is there something where you have like a billboard in your heart that you need to like kind of, you know, pull down and throw into the fire? Or is there something in your life that like someone's been speaking to you that you need to discern or confront? So as you hear the scriptures, how is God asking you to obey the word this week? What would that look like for you? And then who is the one person that you want to share with? So take a moment to listen to the scriptures and listen to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, how do you want me to obey this week? And how do you want me to, who do you want me to share with? So go ahead and take a moment and write that down. And after you write that down, share that with the person next to you, how you're going to apply God's work this week, how you obey it, and then who will you share with what you learned. I was studying this with Jaden the other week, and I was like, all right, man, my obedience is to be like, okay, God, show me like an impurity in my heart. And I was finishing a fast, and that it's like this interesting, like every time I finish a fast, God is often like revealing my sin to me almost every time. And he revealed to me a sin of recognition and credit. And that plays into like my story too, just with some dynamics and things. And so that was my obedience from that is actually my next fast would be that theme that Jesus would remove that stuff from my heart and make me more healthy in him. So that's what it'll look like for me. I'll start that in 2 weeks. So let me pray for us as we transition out. So Jesus, thank you that we could gather in your name and study your word in the book of Titus. And I pray as we study your word that your word would get deeper into our hearts and our families, and that you would transform us from the inside out, and that you would show us these areas in our hearts that just cause a gap or a divide in our relationship with you. And that you would also show us if there's anything in our lives that's speaking into our life that is like a billboard or a different way that is not from you, Jesus, that you would reveal that to us and help us to be able to speak truth in those situations and guide people into your truth. And so I pray that you would grow us stronger and healthier as a church and as leaders in your kingdom. And I want to pray for everybody's weeks ahead, Jesus, that as we step into a new week, we thank you that you are going ahead of us. Would you author our week? And Jesus, we pray for that you would connect us with the right people at the right place at the right time, that we would be able to encourage people, to pray with them, to buy them meals as we go, or share the gospel or our story with you, and that they would come to have that seed planted in their life and watered. And so, Jesus, we pray for more of these opportunities. We pray as people step into their jobs this week, that you would give them wisdom to solve problems, whether it's at an actual, like in an office or remote, or even stay-at-home moms as they navigate different parts of their vocation. Would you give them everyone wisdom, and would you also give people everyone the patience this new week as we navigate the different challenges? And Jesus, I pray in those challenges that we would meet you and encounter your love, your power, and your wisdom, and that you would give us strength. And Jesus, I pray that where everybody has a need this week, or that hope that was talked about during our Connect question, Jesus, that you would speak life into that hope, and that you would bring your perfect will into that. And so where families or people need breakthrough, would you continue to bring the breakthrough, the healing that you have, and the freedom that you have? Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen.